Continuing our discussion of halachot to do with the mitzvah Brit Milah, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igrot Moshe Yoredei Chelek Gimel Siman Tzadik Zayin discusses a case of a Brit Milah which was performed without the knowledge of the father. It seems that the parents had split up, or perhaps they were never even married in the first place, and the mother's family arranged the Brit Milah without telling the father or his family about it. And the question is, was this a valid Brit Milah, etc., etc.? So Rav Moshe makes 4 points that I want to share with you. The first point is, he says that it's an Avel Gadol, it's a great sin, that's what's been done, to deny the father the opportunity of the mitzvah of doing Brit Milah to his son. He says, even though there is a notion of everybody having a chiyuv to do milah to somebody, especially the Beit Din, or everybody as representatives of the Beit Din, that applies in a case where the father is either unwilling to fulfill his own obligation or is unable to fulfill his own obligation. But in a case where he would be certainly willing and wants to do it, so then nobody else has got the right to, as it were, steal that mitzvah from him. He then goes on to discuss the question of whether or not, seeing as the mitzvah wasn't done by the father, he didn't do his mitzvah of milah, whether it's appropriate to do hatafat dam brit afterwards, which is what is done in certain instances of an invalid milah, that a little bit of blood is drawn from where the foreskin was, and that fulfills the requirement of brit milah when there's no longer a foreskin there. His conclusion is that it was a valid Brit Milah, and therefore it's prohibited to draw blood unnecessarily. He says, even though the Moel wasn't acting as the Shaliach of the father, usually the Moel is appointed by the father to be the Shaliach, to be his agent for Brit Milah. In this case, that's not the case. Nevertheless, he says, brings a proof from the Rambam, in Hilchot Milah, Perek Bet Halacha Aleph, that even if it's done without the Shlichut, without being appointed as an agent by the father, it's still valid, because the Rambam says that a Katan, a minor, is kosher to do Brit Milah, but a Katan can't be appointed as a Shaliach. There's no notion of Shlichut for a minor. So nevertheless, it's still a valid Brit Milah, even if there wasn't a Shlichut. So here we see that essentially the mitzvah of Milah has been done, but the father hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah of doing milah. The third point that Rav Moshe addresses is the question of the baby's name. In this case, the baby was given a name without the knowledge or the consent or agreement of the father. Is that a valid name? So he says, normally, it is a valid name. We find, he says, that both parents can give names, and people have different names as depending what they're called by different people. We see a model for that in Tanakh, that Yaakov Avinu's final son, his mother, Rachel, called him Ben Oni, but Yaakov called him Binyamin. Yaakov didn't call him Binyamin because he objected to the name of Ben Oni. He just wanted to give his own name. And it so happens that Binyamin stuck, but not because Ben Oni wasn't a valid name. So here also, his father can call him Chaim Yitzchak, and his mother can call him Shmuel Yosef. Which name he'll eventually go by will work out in the course of time. But he could have two names for different people for different purposes, I suppose, depending on which house he's in. But he says that if they didn't use the father's name in naming him, and they gave another man's name, so it might be a case where the mother is now living with somebody else, and who's going to be a stepfather to the child, and they called the child Plony Ben the stepfather. So he says, then that's not a valid name at all, because he's not Ben the stepfather, and then that name's got no halachic validity whatsoever, and it can be ignored. The final question that he addresses is, what's the status of the bracha that the Moel said? Is it a bracha levatala, seeing as he was acting not with the shlichut of the father? He says it's not a bracha levatala, but if, because it's a valid mila, but if the father was a moel, then he's denied the father the opportunity to make the bracha. And based on a taz in Simon Kafchet of Yoradea, talking about kisui hadam, that when you deprive somebody else of a bracha, which is rightfully theirs, there's a penalty to pay of asara zehuvim, 10 gold pieces, so that would apply also here. And it occurred to me that that might also apply as far as whoever said the bracha v'lahachin yisor bivrito shel Avraham Avinu in place of the father, they were denying the father the right to say that bracha, and maybe they're also liable a knas, a penalty to pay to him as well. Ad kan.